All right, Dan, so you wanted to read Psalm 126?
I believe the Lord is just doing a new thing in my life and I think in our lives. Something has just been released for me here in the last couple of weeks. I've had a sense that I've had somewhat of a closed heart to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm turning to you. I'm facing you. I can't do any more than I really can. Just say the message we listened to, was it Friday night? When Doug sent out the message from Susan that she had seen it. Well, I already had listened to the two messages that you guys sent out by Brendan Manning. And then whenever you forwarded Susan's, I listened to that. And I was so struck by a few things that he said in the prayer in the end. The concept that God could have delighted in my conception and in the time in the womb and the birth and child, and that he was present there, kind of like, I knew it, but I mean, he delighted in me at that time. In spite of all that was happening, it just kind of floored me. I listened to that message a second time. And then, of course, you know, I saw that there was another one and you were talking about that. So I listened to that one and I said, well, okay, what's the difference? So then I went back and I listened to the last part of the first one and the last part of the second one. And then I listened to the second one again. And then I woke up early in the middle of the night, Thursday night, and I listened to one and then the other. So it's like I almost had them verbatim. And when I mentioned it to Susan Friday night, she said, well, why did you? And I said, well, I have been stunned by what I heard primarily in the latter part of it. So I had opportunity multiple times to bow my head and pray along with him as he did. Now, each time, as he just talks about kind of the Lord taking you through and different things, as if I were going in my memory back through a hallway, seeing all the things that I could remember, all the occasions when I offended somebody and somebody offended me and all of the abuse and everything else. As I went through it each time, there was no sting. There was no pain. It was just the memory of it all the way back. So it wasn't like as I did that, God did anything in my life. It's like I went back through. And if you guys remember on Friday night, I prayed, and I don't remember what I prayed, but it was as if something was wrong and God needed to do something. And as we went through the prayer time, the Lord made it very clear to me. He said, there wasn't anything I needed to deal with, but there was the emptiness of the positive in my whole life that was missing. And that's why I was so struck by that, because that there really was a God who delighted in me. So I woke up early yesterday and listened to another one of his messages. It's a different one. I can't remember the name of it. Well, yeah, it was The Relentless Trust of Jesus. I listened to that and I was just kind of stunned. I listened to it a second time. Then I listened to another one and I can't remember the name of it. But then also I just kind of read different things. I don't know, something just was stirring inside. And then, of course, just thinking about the fact that he could ever delight in me. Brennan says, you realize that God loves you as you are, not as you should be. And then the fact that he said God loved you before you ever turned to him, before you ever repented. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. What is it? He calls it the greatest act of love, when Jesus Christ allowed himself to go to the cross and die for us. And when God gave his son for us before we ever believed, before we ever acted in repentance, while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, God manifested such a great love for us. God loves me. And you know, just the reality, the fact that the lake of fire was created for the fallen angels, Satan and the fallen angels, not created for me. And every person who goes there is because they refuse. It's they make their own way there. His love is so great that he loves me so much. The most precious thing to God is his son, and he gave him for me. And then I just kind of mentioned to you that Paris Reed here, I just came across about a 40-minute message that he gave. He recounts the occasion whenever it dawned on him through a message from a pastor down in Florida that not only did Jesus die for him, but he died with Jesus. And that he went into the tomb and he was raised. And his life is out from that heavenly position where he's in Christ seated at the right hand of God. He talks about the occasion, the first occasion when he didn't react to somebody who was belittling him and putting him in the ministry down. And he said, I was there and the man was going on and on and on. He said, all I could do was laugh. Not at what he was saying, but at the fact that there was nothing in me coming out. Because he was dead to that old nature. I mean, all this is mulling around. And then early this morning, I was listening to a song. And the song made reference to those who sow in tears shall reap with joy. So I went to Psalm 126, and it is a thanksgiving for return from captivity. Have we not all been in such captivity? And I said, Lord, is this not a new turning in our life as we come into a place of cleanness in our midst, in our assembly, in ourselves, in our life? Is that not a time that we are returning from the captivity that Satan has so brought us into through this dissociation? And it's Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. I could cry. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, sowing, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I was so struck, and I even feel emotional now, at who he is. And what, I was just reading just a little earlier about the fact that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto that day. Actually, it was that message that you sent out quite a while back. You sent a chapter out by F.B. Meyer, and Meyer saying, it is only good to those who believe, because God wants that. It was Brennan who was talking about, the sun shines all the time. But when we step into the dark, we don't experience the sunshine, but it's shining. God's love is there. But when we step into the dark, we don't experience it, but the love is still there. He is still pouring forth himself. But we step into the light, we experience that. I said, Lord, Lord, let us step fully into the light. Let us give you the opportunity to redeem us from the captivity the adversary has brought about. That's why I told Doug, I said, he is risen. It's like, all of a sudden, I'm seeing a risen Savior who loves me. And he loved me just as I was. I wanted to know about Brennan's wife. You know, unfortunately, they were divorced in 2000. But I just want to know how she's doing. I really couldn't find out anything. But then I saw these sites that are all anti-him. You know, and they boom, boom, boom. And it's like, but the preciousness of that man. It's like I saw the Pharisees wanting to attack him, and I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I said, no, they really missed it. They missed the very message the man carries and brings. This God loves you. He loves you and me, and he did a work that is beyond comprehension, that we might come into the family of God.
Just redeem a man. to you.